great respect for the sponsor of legislation, I'm going to speak against the bill very briefly. I had a lot of difficulty myself in the votes that we took over the last couple of days having to do with differential tax rates. And to me, the phrase, the intentions of the bill are good. I mean, clearly, and I hope this is in order, clearly it's intended to try to assist economic development. I guess, to me, the two questions that I have to deal with and the reason for my no vote have to do with the fact that I believe that tax rates should be consistent across the board unless there's an overriding and compelling public interest to do otherwise. One example of that, which we debate each year, is the senior citizens' property tax exemption, and of course there are others. But I think economic development property is in the eye of the beholder, and one person's economic development is another person's unfortunate change in the lifestyle of a community. And for that reason, I moved the amendment for the vote on this matter, and I appreciated very much the support of the members. But I guess my feeling is that taxes are taxes. They're not fun for everybody or anybody, but they do have to be borne across the board. And long-term economic development means being able to survive in the tax climate of our state or of our municipalities. And I'd like to see all businesses and individuals, to the extent possible, be treated equally. So with great respect for the intentions here and personally feeling that economic development is a good thing, I still have to stay with my principle as to consistent taxation. So I wanted to speak briefly, explain my vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very briefly, I hope the members, I think the bill's fairly simple, and I hope the members will support it. Once again, it is simply a local option to give the localities another tool to attract additional economic development to the community and thereby increase the tax base. The long run is the goal of this is to increase the tax base and to help the community not only by increasing the tax base but also by providing jobs. And that's what we're here for, to help provide some economic stability for our people. So I would hope that the members will support the legislation and that it can accomplish its intended purpose.
Ready for the question? Representative Wallace.
Yes, I have some. I'm going to vote for the bill, but I do have some concerns with economic development. And, you know, depending on the size of the industry coming into the communities, who pays for the roads? Who pays for the schools? Who pays for garbage collection? And all of that, that falls back on the people there that are living there. And an example that comes to mind is the state of Tennessee, who had a huge factory come into their state, and they built the roads and they increased the school costs and everything, but it was left upon the people of Tennessee to pay for all of that, and therefore I have concern about who will pay in the end and the tax situation. But I'll support the bill.
Ready for the question? Question before the House, the shall committee substitute for House Bill Number 272, CNRA amended House, pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
New substitute for House Bill Number 272 has passed the House. Clerk read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 169 by Binkley, Pierce, Kelly, Zemanski, Adams, Duncan, Jaroff, and Fertua. An act extending the powers and duties of the Office of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, Department of Health and Social Services, to programs and activities relating to misuse of hazardous volatile substances by inhaled abusers and providing for an effective date. The Hess Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Signing do pass, Ellis, Dahl, Jacko, and C. Davis. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Concurring, Larson, Swackhammer, Copen, and Ulmer, Schultz, Brown, Rieger, Phillips, Wallace, and Barnes. I have no amendments on my guest, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 169 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final pass.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection to bills in third reading, would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 169 by Binkley, Pierce, Kelly, et al. An act extending the powers and duties of the Office of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, Department of Health and Social Services, to programs and activities relating to misuse of hazardous volatile substances by inhalant abusers and providing for an effective date.
Is there discussion? Representative Omer.
Thank you. Very briefly, Mr. Speaker, I would just like to urge members to vote yes. This is an important piece of legislation because of the significant problem that inhalants are causing throughout the nation, but particularly in Alaska and particularly among youth. Unfortunately, inhalants are relatively inexpensive and easily available. And unfortunately, they cause significant physical damage to the people that decide to consume them, including irreversible brain damage and, in some cases, even death. It is extremely difficult to prohibit the use of these substances because they are common substances, gasoline, whiteout, art products. And unfortunately, because of that, you can easily obtain them, use them, and unfortunately abuse them. It's extremely important that we not only raise the awareness level, but also help our youth understand the significant damage that they are doing to themselves if they continue to use inhalants. I would urge all members to vote yes.
Ready for the question? Question before the House is shall Senate Bill number 169 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 169 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the roll call vote on final passage be considered the roll call vote and effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been approved. The clerk could read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 209, Resources, amended by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the sale of organic foods. The HES Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows. Signing do pass, Gall. Having no recommendation, C. Davis, Boyer, and Ellis. Grunberg signed to amend. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Resources Committee with the same title and do pass. Concurring, Davidson, Jackal, Menard, and Foster. Mike Davis signed no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader, Mr. Boucher. We'll stand at ease. Have you read the bill, Irene? Amendments to House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 209?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 209 be considered in lieu of the original bill. I already do that.
Advancement.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 209 be considered engrossed to advance third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the bill's in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 209, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the sale of organic foods.
Ready for the vote? Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of organic cabbages and other king-size Alaskan vegetables. Senate Bill 209 is pure and simple a food labeling bill. What is not so simple, Mr. Speaker, is that organic food is that organic food that a careful consumer buys in Alaskan supermarkets. That's because of a specific failing in Alaskan statutes dealing with food products. Nowhere in existing law is there any definition or standard which permits one to be certain what is meant when one purchases organic food. What this means, Mr. Speaker, is that vegetables and other food products can now be advertised and sold as organic without any guarantee as to what fertilizers, pesticides, or Lord knows what else has been used or not used in their production and processing. Senate Bill 209 establishes uniform standards for organically produced food. It puts in statute a definition of organic food. Mr. Speaker, as trying as we might be in this body, this is a serious business for Alaska. We are blessed with our northern latitudes, with fewer of the pests and other kinds of problems that other organic merchants or producers have in other parts of our country. So I would urge the body to vote yes and let consumers know that this House is not fooled by those producers and merchants of who are deceiving consumers as to what they're buying in the supermarket. Thank you very much.
Mr. Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also urge the body to go ahead and support this legislation. Also, in this day and age of the amount of cancer that's in our society, it's not totally attributed to various kinds of pesticides and the carcinogens that can be attributed to it, but all of that has not shaken out. But I think when we look at the effect and the saying that we are what we eat, I think that this is a step in the right direction to controlling foods that are clean of the various chemicals that are used to produce them. And I would urge the body's support.
Mr. Taylor.
Yes, this is really an interesting piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker, and I have a couple questions about it. It seems on page 2, there at about line 8 or 9, that if a grocer sells a cabbage in Palmer and states or advertises that it was grown organically, that he must also provide a written statement with the name and address of the producer must be given to the purchaser unless the name and address are identified on a package. Well, I can't imagine the cabbage coming in a package. So does that mean if one of these cabbages is sold, that somehow when I go through the checkout stand, the name and address of the producer of the cabbage is mandated to be given to me? Because my fear is if the grocer doesn't give it to me, he might be subjected to apparently a Class A misdemeanor or a $1,000 fine because he will have been selling it in violation. If that's correct, I'm concerned about the legislation.
Mr. Gall?
Mr. Speaker, I guess I'd like to just ask, I assume that the gentleman who just spoke is referring to the notice section, disclosure section of the bill on page 2, but all it says is that they need to display the information, not that it needs to be given to anyone, so I guess I don't see the problem.
Mr. Rieger?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm looking at the $1,000 fine, too, and wondering about a vendor, and I'm thinking about these carts that are around. They might say organic this or organic that on them. You have to keep records, and if you violate some provision of this act, you're liable for the $1,000 plus the state's estimated costs of investigating and taking appropriate administrative and enforcement actions. I can see one of these sidewalk vendors hit with a $5,000 bill before it's over for putting the wrong label on some of the orange juice that was on his cart if he didn't keep the accurate records of it. I'm a little concerned about the bill.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was noticing an interesting the penalty section on page 3, that a person who violates this chapter is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. I would think that that would probably cause a great deal of concern within this body, although the last time we looked at the mandatory insurance, I guess I was told that swearing falsely is a Class A misdemeanor. That's consistent throughout statute. And when I look at this and recognize that probably there won't be too much trouble voting on this piece of legislation, I'm amazed that we have so much trouble looking at the marijuana issue, which we're trying to make a Class B misdemeanor.
Ready for the question? Mr. Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's interesting to note that the major sponsor for this and the gentleman that recently spoke on the floor from Mat-Su, and I often love to go out to Mat-Su area and buy right off the road there, especially at the fair time, Palmer Fair. And I always assume that the individual were used in proper fertilizer. I don't have anything against fertilizer, and that they probably have to use pesticide and things like that. I don't know if the person from the Mat-Su Valley knows what they use in their farms. I do know the warehouse downtown Anchorage that sells a lot of the fertilizer and feed and stuff like that for the farmers. And at the same time, I'm worried about the poor guy that's on the doing the Palmer Fair that's selling the merchandise on the highway there. And if this is going to have an impact on them, I think that perhaps they should be checked with.
Mr. Menard.
Well, it's my understanding, answering to the previous speaker, that the people that are selling at the fair and along the roadway and stuff, the highway, are not advertising that this is organically grown food. They may have, if they are, then they would have to say it comes down. It says in here that they're allowed to use manure, so that that'd be all right, you know, organically in the process, but. They're not advertising that as organic food, to my knowledge.
Ready for the question? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I didn't realize that the word organic in and of itself was so valuable of a sales pitch that, that we would have to be so concerned about it to place these high penalties on someone who might misuse it. But apparently it is. It just seems strange to me that that what we're doing is anyone who violates a provision of this regulation, that could be the grocer who sells the cabbage that was referred to earlier, the person who grows the cabbage, not properly notifying someone that the cabbage was not organically grown and now it is being sold as if it's organic, somebody just spraying on some type of pesticide in their garden. Would obviously be in violation here, because unless you home grow apparently the pesticide, and there's some kind of Bacillus thuringiensis or other natural pesticide that might be allowed, I just have a hard time understanding, I guess, why we need to have a Class A misdemeanor penalty on some little guy selling cabbages in Palmer. I didn't know it was a big problem up there with people importing inorganic or chemically grown cabbages in competition with these folks. I'm very concerned about adding a new law and a new penalty provision here on something. I haven't heard a single comment on the floor yet today that there is a problem out there that needs to be corrected by this legislation. Now, if there is a problem and these things are being imported, we ought to hunt these fellows down and throw every one of them in jail for a year for selling those illicit cabbages.
I'd like to make another announcement from the chair. I'd ask members to take a look at their Mason's manual here and at the earliest convenience and reread section 102. And it has to do with whether a member has the right to speak only once on a question. And that hasn't been strictly enforced here, and it suggests in Mason's that it shouldn't be so strictly enforced that someone who has spoken cannot clear up some question which has arisen in debate. But it's starting to become a complete indifference to this rule, and I'd ask members to try to get their arguments together, and then they can clear up something that's said, but to present three or four different offerings of debate that aren't related to other questions that have come up is awful time-consuming. So with respect, I'd ask members to review Section 102. Mr. Kopanen.
Thank you. I hesitate to rise, but I'd like to perhaps clear some confusion on the part of the minority leader. The term organic or organically grown has become what the legal profession calls a term of art. It specifically meaning that the products were not raised with any artificial fertilizer or with any chemicals or pesticides or herbicides in order to prevent the contamination of the product with those things. And therefore, food sold under the label organic fetches a premium on the market. And if somebody then takes some other food products that do not fit the classification organic and ups the price, perhaps 10 cents a pound or something, they are guilty of false advertising, of misleading the public, and actually may be creating a problem for somebody who buys organic food because they are sensitive to the trace elements found in the chemical that are used for fertilizers or one thing or another. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question before the House is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 209 Resources pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
27 yeas, 12 nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 209 has passed the House. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Taylor.
I would just serve notice of my reconsideration on House Senate Bill 209.
Notice of reconsideration has been given for Senate Bill 209. Clerk read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill 276, Finance, by the Finance Committee, by the Finance Committee, and Act relating to transfers to the Dividend Fund and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Boucher.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we move back to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
There's objection, Mr. Boucher. Do you want to, can the clerk read the amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Boucher, Omer, and Taylor, and it's to page 1, and it is being handed out right now, Mr. Speaker.
If you allow me just a little bit of latitude, and I'll try and be very brief. In the ensuing hours since yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to a number of members on the vote on this particular amendment, and I think this clarification was in order, and I know that others share a strong feeling with me regarding this particular subject, so I felt that it's worth one more try. So I'm offering it on that purpose, and I request that we go back to second reading, sir.
Is there objection? Is there objection
yes.
to returning to second reading?
Yes.
Mr. Schultz?
I'd like to have it at ease.
Stand at ease. Back to order. Question before the House is, shall we return to second reading for the purposes of considering amendment number 4? Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we're in second reading. Would the clerk read the amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Boucher, Omer, and Taylor, and it is on each member's desk.
Mr. Boucher?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move the amendment.
Is there objection? There is objection. Mr. Boucher.
Has no sense of reiterating what I had to say yesterday. I think when in doubt, if where the permanent fund is concerned, we can never go wrong investing in Alaska's future. And that future includes education, it includes so many other things. So we're not sure what's going to happen in this particular the larger area of the bill, and I certainly don't want to slow that down. But there is a question when we win, which I feel we will, might happen. And I think that this is a prudent move. And if each one of you were just think a minute, and I said this to each one of you differently, think of what the people have said to you regard your permanent fund and their permanent fund. And by and large, it is truly the key to our future. So I think that a vote for this amendment not is just a vote for a minority or a majority, but is indeed a vote for your constituents. There are opportunities to design later on down the road the various uses, the various needs, of which certainly education is a very high priority. But for the time being, I suggest that we put it into the principle of the permanent fund and put a lock and a key on it. Thank you.
Ready for the question, Mr. Schultz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the same amendment that I'm offering now at this time, and it's being duplicated, and it's amendment to amendment number 4.
Is that a motion?
Yes, and I would ask that amendment be adopted.
All right. Is there objection? There is objection. Mr. Schultz, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's the same amendment as I offered yesterday, and it removes the word permanent fund, and it puts the money in the Alaska Public School Fund. And I do agree with the previous speaker, and there's some significant debate that went on this yesterday. However, I firmly believe that if we're going to make a commitment, we can talk about making commitments, but if we're going to make a commitment to the kids and to education in the state of Alaska, that there's no better opportunity to show the people of the state of Alaska that we intend and we mean business when we say it. And this is a tremendous opportunity. The fund is sitting there. Here is an opportunity that when these funds come in, that we roll them in to the Alaska Public School Fund, and the money is protected. It is protected from the legislature, and it cannot be spent by the legislature, and it can only be spent for educational functions or the funding of education. So therefore, I move this amendment. I ask unanimous consent, and I would just hope that I do support the permanent fund dividend program. I support the permanent fund. I have all the way along. However, I just feel that we've got an opportunity. We've got another fund of money here where we can put this money and put our money more or less where our mouth is and say, all right, we are making a commitment to education in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Mr. Grinberg. Stand at ease. He's going to withdraw it. House, please come back to order. Mr. Schultz, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're not giving away any House secrets here, are we?
Sounds like I just did.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Speaker, on the amendment to the amendment, I do believe that when I have talked to the various colleagues on the floor and I've talked to various senators, people on the Finance Committee, et cetera, and they have told me very definitely that they are, in fact, going to make a concerted effort to try to get monies, in fact, placed into the Alaska Public School Fund. And I believe those commitments, and as a result of that, and as a result of what I think can possibly and potentially be some very good windfalls for that particular fund, and have the opportunity to fund education when we do have shortfalls in our budget. As a result of those discussions that I've had with people, I am asking that I be allowed to withdraw this amendment at this time and that we can go ahead and vote on the representative from Anchorage's amendment. Thank you.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment to the amendment has been withdrawn. Amendment number four is before you. Mr. Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to have the opportunity to make some comment further on this amendment, and that is that yesterday I offered on this floor an amendment to this amendment which failed and spoke upon it because I had believed at the time and been advised at the time that that would even provide tighter safeguards, that this money would never be somehow pulled out of the permanent fund, that it would guarantee that it was locked up, as the former speaker from Anchorage said, behind a very strong lock and chain. I was incorrect in that, and in the intervening period, I've had an opportunity to look into it a little further, and I believe now, the reason I've added my name to this amendment, is I believe now that this is the tightest restriction that we can probably place upon these funds so that they will not impact the jury system in this state and thus provide further fodder for the cannons that may be shooting against us in the courtrooms. But my primary concern is that it will not be available if this amendment is passed for this legislature or some future administration even to suggest that we raid or pull any monies out of the permanent fund because of some legal excuse that a jury might be of concern to us. And so at this time, I support the amendment and believe that we've provided the tightest safeguards we can around this money and ask that the members join us in that support.
Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to vote against this amendment, And for the record, I'm not voting against the permanent fund. I know that there'll be an opportunity at campaign time for somebody to say, hey, Davidson voted against the permanent fund. Mr. Speaker, we've played chicken stew with the permanent fund and some of the options we have on the permanent fund for too long. Now, in my district, we face wholesale cancellation of livelihoods. Does that mean that next year, should this law become part of our effort to keep a bill clean to protect the real case before us, the litigation that the state faces? Chicken stew is out to lunch, Mr. Speaker, and we've got to deal with this matter in a clean bill to allow our legal experts the latitude that they've asked from us to deal with the problem of litigation. I say, let's keep these issues separate. We can debate where this money goes after the fact. But I don't know if it's going to be the best place to try to assist these Alaskans who've had wholesale losses of their livelihoods, or just where this money is best utilized at this time. And true enough, Mr. Speaker, I'll hear about these comments at election time. But frankly, I'm tired of sticking my neck out, and I'm just going to play political up front with chicken stew. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Question before the House is, shall amendment number 4 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Hoffman? Mr. Hoffman changes from no to yes. Representative McLean?
From no to yes.
Representative McLean changes from no to yes. Clerk, please take the roll.
33 yeas, 6 nays.
Amendment number 4 is passed. We're back in third reading. Are you ready for the question? Question before the House is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 276, Finance, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, take the... Mr. Hoffman. Mr. Hoffman changes from no to yes. Mr. Grunberg. Mr. Grunberg changes from no to yes. The clerk take the roll.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 276 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the roll call vote on the final passage be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution number 33 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee relating to improving school performance. The HESS Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass, attaches a zero physical note. Signing do pass, Ellis, Boyer, Jacko, and Furness. I have no amendments on my guess.
Ready for the vote? Are you ready for the question? Question before the House is, shall House Concurrent Resolution number 33 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
HCR number 33 has passed the House. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution number 45 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, requesting the Congress to enact legislation requiring local hire on work associated with cleanup operations following disasters. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass. Attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Boyer, Boucher, Lehman, Collins, Finkelstein, Grunberg, and Donnelly. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 45 be considered and goes to advance the third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection to resolutions in third reading, would the clerk read the resolution for the third time?
House Joint Resolution 45 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, requesting the Congress to enact legislation requiring local hire on work associated with cleanup operations following disasters.
Ready for the question, Mr. Donnelly?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Joint Resolution 45 asks Congress to adopt legislation mandating local hire when to the fullest extent possible when there's a disaster of such magnitude that it requires the intervention or assistance of federal agencies. As we've discussed in this body before, Congress has the authority to mandate local hire in situations that involve federal agencies, and this, since this resolution does not favor one state or another, it should enjoy widespread support in Congress for such a proposal because it fairly and reasonably asks for legislation that will clean up disasters faster and more efficiently while relieving some of the burden of citizens and the communities that have suffered because of those disasters. Thank you.
You ready for the question? The question for the House is, shall House Joint Resolution number 45 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
HJR number 45 has passed the House. Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. He's an old friend of mine in Gallery B, a person that many people here know. He's got a long history of association with many different parts of Alaska, most recently from Chugiak, Mr. Bob Kallenberg. Mr. Grunberg.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce a member of my staff, whom I don't think I've ever introduced before. He's a member of the legal staff for the House Judiciary Committee, Mr. Andy Hemingway. Gallery.
Mr. Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I see that a friend of mine and constituent from District 20 has also joined us. Would you help me in welcoming Art Patterson?
Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
House Resolution Number 6 by the Rules Committee, establishing a House Special Committee on Tourism.
I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Martin?
Just, Mr. Speaker, rather interesting little piece of legislation. I don't know if there's a fiscal note with this or if it complies with the... Well, perhaps I wouldn't object to it if I'm going to be appointed to it, because it looks like it's a good interim employment legislation. And perhaps if my staff's going to be employed this way, I would like it. Otherwise, I really don't see much use for it, except how many legislators we're going to employ and how many staff we're going to employ and where is the money coming from.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall House Resolution Number 6 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
33 yeas, 6 nays.
House Resolution Number 6 has passed the House, although I understand it's available for reconsideration at this time. I'll appoint the following members to the Tourism Committee. Representative Finkelstein is the chairman. Representative Ellis, Menard, Foster, Ulmer, Schultz, and Zawacki. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are four citations on today's calendar. Honoring Curtis Eftis, state wrestling champion. Honoring Jeff Roderick, 1989 state wrestling champion. Honoring Ryan Webb, 1989 state wrestling champion. And honoring Ryan Twait, 1989 state wrestling champion. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that citations be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. Is there unfinished business to come forward to the House? Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of my reconsideration of House Resolution Number 6.
Reconsideration notice has been given on H.R. 6. Mr. Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Committee will continue its morning meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Other unfinished business, Mr. Swackhammer? Mr. Majority Leader, under unfinished business. Announcements, Mr. Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought maybe for the benefit of our colleague, the Zodiac Lounge is offering a special on chicken stew today.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that my colleague from Soldotna, Representative Swackhammer, has a new son his wife brought back from Thailand.
There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to announce that the panoramic photos that were taken yesterday will be available outside the chambers by my office at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. Cost will be $30 a piece.
Mr. Gall?
House Judiciary will meet today at 2 o'clock.
Other announcements? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under unfinished business?
We're under announcements.
I know, and I'm asking unanimous consent that we move back up to unfinished business.
For what purpose, Representative Barnes?
To state a question on a bill, Mr. Speaker.
We're standing at ease for a moment. Mr. Majority Leader, can I see you? Order, is there objection to going back to unfinished business? Hearing no objection, we're under unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, I have a question on House Bill 220 that I have asked legislative legal to give me an opinion on. The question I raise is under Article 9, Section 7, Dedicated Funds, Article 9, Section 13, Expenditure, and Article 2, Section 13, Form of Bills. I admit that I may be very mistaken, but it would appear to me that the way this bill is put together, that it violates all those sections of the Constitution.
Thank you. Any other unfinished business? Other announcements? Other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
We're adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.